Let us pray. For clarity in thought, speech, and listening, we pray to you, Lord, so that we may understand and act in ways that bring glory to your name. Amen. Last week, at the 9:15 service, the verger for that service, Dave McBee, told me that I was to stand next to St. Francis for communion distribution station. I looked at Dave and said, "I can do that. St. Francis likes me." And then after a pause, I added, "He actually likes all animals." So then, during the week as I prepared for today, I wondered if St. Francis made any distinctions between the other animals and the ones that look like me and you. There is so much that we have in common with other animals, but then there is also a lot that is different. Or maybe there isn't. Maybe we just like to think that there is a lot that makes the human species different. I don't know. What I do know is that our life as human beings is a constant struggle between difference and similarity. Sometimes we like to highlight difference because it sets us apart. And then at times we only highlight similarities because that gives us a common ground to stand on. And in so doing, allows us to feel safe. In either case, whether we highlight differences or similarities, we do it because underneath it is a desire to survive. And this desire to survive can cause people to be passionate about how it is best to survive. One way is to seek to kill the wolf that attacks the villagers, and the other is to recognize that the wolf needs food too. Interestingly, the St. Francis solution requires detachment from the idea of survival, which then ultimately makes it possible for everyone to survive. So in this case, be daring enough to offer food to the wolf voluntarily, while for the wolf, be daring enough to accept the food. Of course, in a transaction like this, there is great risk. The villagers may get scared and may attack the wolf, or the wolf may get scared and attack the villagers. So there is trust needed. Anyhow, my point today is not to offer some wisdom on how to interact with wolves. My point is simply that St. Francis likes me and I like St. Francis. I like him for his love for animals and all of God's creation. But I love him most for his willingness, in fact, his desire to lose his life for Christ's sake as he walked from the crusaders' camps to speak about Jesus to people on the other side. I'm sure you were not expecting the story to take this turn. Today we don't expect a person so ecologically friendly to have such a strong passion for Christ so as to be willing to be killed for the gospel's sake. These days, stereotypically, the ecological types are not the evangelical types, and vice versa. So, what has this got to do with today's lectionary? In Romans, Paul reminds us of the ancient law from Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This may come as a surprise to you, but Jesus was not being very original when he told his followers that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, and then also when he related it with loving our neighbor as ourselves. And certainly, Paul is only repeating the ancient understanding that the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. There is nothing new there. Yet there is. Now Paul is not standing in his ancient tradition. He is standing in the transformation he has received through putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, there is a new creation. And Paul is experiencing that new creation. Being in Christ gives him the opportunity to know that the only thing that stands in our way of experiencing the transformative power of love is our own gratification of desires, the provisions of flesh, the desire for survival. Isn't that intriguing? That the desire for survival is actually what comes in the way of survival. I feel there are two ways that we humans go about seeking survival. One is the obvious one. The survival of the fittest, where the fittest eliminates the rest to survive. And the other approach to survive is to imagine that the other whose interests may be in conflict actually does not exist. There are two ways of doing this, in my opinion. One is to completely ignore the presence of the other with a difference. This we have seen play out most painfully in situations of apartheid or slavery, where human dignity is completely denied in fear of having to resolve the difference. And the other is to keep believing that the Almighty love will magically dissipate and diffuse the difference. Personally, such a position troubles me the most, because this narrative abuses the idea of love to its extreme by ignoring or at times completely denying the real difference behind the conflict. I see this approach not rooted in the idea of God's all-inclusive love, but in the idea of live and let live. I have to say this with a heavy heart, that I am weary of this skin-deep God is love theology that denies difference for the sake of building bridges and for the sake of peace. And that is why Jesus encourages us to give up this live and let live for peace's sake approach, and to confront those with whom we may have a difference. Do this one-on-one. Then if the issue is not resolved, involve more people. involve the whole church, if that's what it takes. Interestingly, it is not about forcing the other to change. I know a cursory reading of this text does seem to suggest this heavy-handedness of one against the other, but look more closely. The issue is not that it is not known who has sinned against who. So this text is not a prescription for resolving a conflict in which who has hurt who is not clearly determined. In this case, it is clear who has hurt who. The issue is that a community cannot exist as a community if it does not interact with each other. If it does not listen to each other. If it gives up talking to each other in fear of offending each other. A community that cannot talk about the issues that confront it openly is not a community. It is certainly not an open and inviting community of love. I emphasize this because Jesus does not say that where two or three agree in my name, I am there among them. But that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Agreement is not essential. But being gathered as an honest and engaging community is essential to Christ's real presence. So if you think for the sake of peace we should not speak about differences that exist as a community, and I say this as we move closer to the 10th anniversary of September 11. We cannot claim to have Christ's presence in a community that is not willing to confront the difference. And that is why I like Saint Francis. He understood that survival of self and that of a community and that of the entire ecosystem is not in the policy of live and let live, but in the daring act of recognizing the presence of difference and confronting it head on. That is how he could reconcile a hungry wolf to a scared village. And that is how he could also share the good news of Jesus Christ to the Sultan in Egypt. He lived Christ's gospel, and Christ was present wherever and whenever he sought to reconcile God's creation. May we also put on the armor of light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.